Thanks for watching Heavens Declare. I'm Jim Burr, and we're continuing on with our series. The title of today's program is the Hadron Collider. And what's this all about, you know? Before we get into that, there's something I wanted to pick up that we've been talking in this series about evolution and the age of the Earth and the age of the universe and all these types of things. And there's something interesting, and that is that, you know, they claim that the Earth is, you know, 4.5 billion years old. What's interesting, this was not always believed. If you go back about 300 years, it pretty much accepted that the Earth was about 6,000 years old. That was generally accepted. But the Earth has been getting older every day. The Earth's been getting older. And in fact, I had a little exercise. I started clipping, subscribed to the Rocky Mountain News. It's no longer being published, but the Rocky Mountain News, I subscribed to that. And I started clipping articles, you know, every day when articles would appear. This discovery pushes back the evidence, you know, of evolution. This, and I, for 1 year, I watched the articles in the magazine for 1 year, and it totally is amazing, because in 1 year, if you add up all the mathematics of these articles, the Earth actually in 1 year got like 8 billion years old. And, I want to share some of those articles with you. About 1800, they believed that the Earth was about 80,000 years old. So, you know, 1700s and prior to that, science pretty much thought it was about 6,000 years old. Then it got to 80,000 years by 1800. By 1900, it became 2 billion years old. Today, it's 4.5 billion. So here's some of the articles that were in the Rocky Mountain News in Colorado. And this was November 4th. I started in the fall of the year. 1996 is when I started reading this magazine. And now, I do travels. You know, I'm not always there every day, so I probably missed some articles. But the articles that I got were amazing. And so the first article I had was November 4th, 1996. And it says signs of life in mineral grains push back 300 to 400 million years. The origin of life. Scripps Service reported that Toole links humans to Siberia 300,000 years ago. That was 10 times earlier than man was thought to venture that far north. On November 19th, 1996, the human jaw, they found a human jaw, 2.3 million years. This extends the family tree by 400,000 years. Okay, and January 22, 1997. Okay, oldest tools in Ethiopia. They found the oldest tools. These tools push back the record of life 200,000 years. That was January 22, 97. March. London's oldest mammal hair discovered, growing millions of years earlier than scientists had thought. And let's see, this that was March 1997. April 14, 1997. Associated Press says the first apes appeared in Africa 20 million, that was 10 million years earlier than previously thought. In May of 1997, farming started 10,000 years ago, pushes back the record date by about 4,000 years. In October 23, 97, the termites, the key to events deeper into the past, about 60,000 years, some termite hills that they discovered. And in July 25, okay, now if you put all these together, okay, and here's the zinger. this is July 25, 1997, Rocky Mountain News. The Journal of Science says a 90-degree shift in the poles may have caused the evolutionary Big Bang. So they're saying that the poles, North and South Poles, shifted 90 degrees, And this would affect evolution. And it may have caused an evolutionary big bang, okay? A sudden spurt in the evolutionary process 530 million years ago. Okay, that's when it happened. And proceeded 20 times faster than anything that has happened since. So evolution sped up by 20 times after this magnetic shift of the poles. And if you work that out, if you multiply, you know, all those numbers and then multiply by 20, when they say it happened, this caused it 20 times faster, then you end up with the Earth being, in that 1 year, the Earth got 8 billion years older, okay? But twice as old as they think it is. Now, I know, once again, we got to cut these newspaper writers some slack. They got to find spectacular headlines to get people to read, right? So we probably need to cut them a little slack, but we can have some fun. We've been talking about having some fun in a couple of these seminars that we've done about, you know, science in the classroom and testing, comparing with the Bible. And so this was, it was kind of cool because I always, when we're doing homeschool, I like to carry a big frog along and get a couple of young girls to come up and kiss the frog, see if we can turn them into a prince. And of course it doesn't work, but if it did work, we call that a fairy tale. Unless you add millions and millions of years, you see, because if you know, Louis Pasteur demolished the theory of spontaneous generation of life, but if you can push it way back into the past, where you can't test it, then give enough time, anything can happen over time. Little gradual change, natural selection, survival of the fittest, all of this, you know, feeds into the theory of evolution. And but we're ready to go to the Hadron Collider in Switzerland, and that's actually underground. It's 17 miles in diameter, this huge facility. It costs like $13 billion to build this underground, involved with thousands of scientists and countries involved to build the collider. And the idea with a collider is they want to see how the universe formed, and they slam protons together. They run them through this magnetic chamber and take them up to as fast as they can, near the speed of light, slam them together. Because we can find out, you know, that's the idea, is to find out what the universe is made of, what happens when they smash them together. You know, you could take an ice cube and a hammer and you could smash it and you'd find out you get water. And you smash that and you get hydrogen and oxygen. You know, you keep breaking things down by smashing them together. And they've been looking for many things, and they have all their theories about, you know, what they're looking and what they've found. The one big news item now is the Higgs boson, the Higgs field. Proposed by a guy by the name of Higgs back in around 1960s. And what he said was, he thinks there's a particle that prevents us from moving at the speed of light. And he says that all matter, you know, everything that doesn't have mass travels at the speed of light, you see? But we can't travel at the speed of light. No matter can, according to Einstein's theory of relativity. We can't travel at the speed of light. It would take an infinite amount of energy to move us at this infinite speed, the speed of light. We'd have to, you know, we just need an infinite amount. It becomes heavier and heavier. Time slows down as we approach the speed of light. And but Higgs said if there's this, he thinks there's this particle that makes us, prevents us from traveling at the speed of light. And if we could put like a dimmer switch on this, we could control that particle, and then we could be able maybe to move faster. But, you know, the Bible says we're going to be changed. It says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last field, at the last moment. But it may have something to do with the Higgs field. They really think they have found the Higgs boson in slamming these particles. And they keep increasing the power of the Hadron Collider, you know, so they can slam it harder and faster. And I think it was 2012, they said they thought that they had found the Higgs boson. And so we'll just show you a picture of the internal workings of the Hadron Collider. I mean, this is a giant facility, humongous $12 billion facility. It's known for smashing together protons. The energy from these collisions gets converted into matter, producing new particles that allow us to explore the nature of the universe. And I believe the Hadron Collider proves Psalm 33, verse 6, where it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." You see, God, I believe, has put this, his word is power. His Bible is powerful, but his word is power. And the if you look at Psalm 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." Folks, I believe that is the E equals MC squared. That tells us the equivalence of matter and energy. You see, E equals MC squared tells us that matter can be turned into energy, and when you turn energy into matter, either way, it gets multiplied by the speed of light squared, okay? That is, and the speed of light is incredibly fast, you know, 300,000 kilometers per second, 186,000 miles per second. So the speed of light squared is 56 billion miles per second. And so that tells us, if we work this formula out, that a very, very small amount of matter can make a humongous amount of energy in a paperclip. If you could release the atoms, the energy in an atom in a paperclip would be equal to 18,000 tons of TNT in a paperclip, the power in the atom. And that's, of course, what runs the sun. And so I believe that, you know, they're proving, the Hadron Collider has proven that scripture, Psalm 33, verse 6. Because they have taken energy, $1 million worth of electricity every week, and they've actually made particles. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, it says, "Upholding all things by the word of his power." Jesus says, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." So the sun fuses 16 million metric tons of hydrogen every second. So we see this incredible power in the sun. We have another shot coming up of the Hadron Collider here. Huge, huge, huge operation. Reference here saying that bunches of protons pass through each other at 40 million times a second. 40 million times a second they power them through there. The Hadron Collider is considered one of the great engineering milestones of mankind. The LHC was built in collaboration with over 10,000 scientists and engineers from 100 countries, as well as 100 universities and laboratories. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." We're looking at a creation machine. The Hadron Collider is a creation machine. They've actually been able to create matter by energy. This machine is a creation machine, able to produce, albeit small amounts of protons. We have another graphic coming up of the pins. You could actually put about 1 trillion protons on the head of a pin, okay? So it took $1 million worth of gasoline electricity every week, and they produced 16 protons. So they've actually created energy. Here you see the results of smashing particles together. You see how they travel out in straight lines. And that's supposed to be kind of similar to what happens in the Big Bang. And yet, when you see the results from the Big Bang, you see all the galaxies spinning. The planets are rotating. They're spinning in orbit about the stars and so forth. And, you know, how do you get the galaxies to spin and the planets to spin? So particle physics is a branch of physics which studies the nature of particles and matter. When energy is transformed into mass, both matter and antimatter are created in equal amounts. When enough energy is squeezed into a very small space, such as during the high-energy particle collisions at CERN or the Big Bang, particles and antiparticles are produced spontaneously. We should not be here because antiparticles would destroy particles. They cannot explain where the antiparticles go to. It's called this CP symmetry. It's called charged particles symmetry. And when we get, the Big Bang supposedly or the Hadron Collider, we get equal amounts of particles and antiparticles. But where do the antiparticles go to? I talked to a professor from physics, Dr. Pacani from Los Angeles, and asked him about that, and how is it? He says, well, in the beginning of the Big Bang, he says, actually, when the Big Bang happened, we have equal amounts of particles and antiparticles, but we have 1,000,000,001 particles. We have one more particle for every 1,000,000,000 particles. We have one more particle of matter than we have antimatter. And therefore, that's how the universe got here, by the one extra particle of matter. And Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This Hadron Collider is, we're using thousands of scientists trying to investigate the universe, the origin of the universe, how it happened, how it has evolved since. So according to the Big Bang theory, equal amounts of matter and antimatter were initially created. In fact, this Dr. Pacani said he wrote his doctorate on CP symmetry, the issue of particles and antiparticles. And I'm going like, so you had a Big Bang and you had 1,000,000,000 particles and 1,000,000,001 of the particles and 1,000,000,000 of antiparticles. Then does the Big Bang repeat itself? Is that, I mean, how do you get the whole universe from that? I'm not smart enough to understand it, I guess. When matter and antimatter come together in contact, they annihilate into pure energy. So when matter and antimatter come together, they destroy each other, and what's produced is pure energy, or photons, and nothing else. That's from the mystery of CP violation. The study of CP violation, that's charged particles, addresses a very fundamental question. Are the laws of physics the same for matter and antimatter? And are matter and antimatter intrinsically different? The answer to this question may hold the key to solving the mystery of matter-dominated universe. Yes, many mysteries, many things to learn and understand. We have, I think, another graphic coming up of another angle of the Hadron Collider. In Matthew 28, verse 14, Jesus said, he came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. You talk about power. You see power in that Hadron Collider. Imagine $1,000,000 worth of electricity every week. It is a powerhouse, a big powerhouse. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. There, I found a statement in, I think it's in Steps to Christ, yes, Steps to Christ, where it says, Satan knows better than the people of God the power over him when they can have when their strength is in Christ. We're talking about the paperclip that would have, 18,000 tons of TNT. If you could release the atoms, the energy in an atom, 18,000 tons of TNT. Do you think your problems are big for the Lord if one paperclip could have that kind of power in the atoms that bind it together? So we're told here that we can have power to overcome. Satan knows better than God's people the power that they can have over him when their strength is in Christ. When they humbly entreat the mighty conqueror to help, the weakest believer in the truth, relying firmly upon Christ, can successfully repulse Satan and all his hosts. That comes from First Testimonies, volume 1, actually, page 341. And Jesus said unto, ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. We have a most beautiful picture here. It's called A Jewel in the Heart of Quantum Physics Entanglement. This is a newly discovered mathematical object resembling a multifaceted jewel in higher dimensions. So this is an artist's conception of what they're trying to show us, what they believe they see when they look into quantum physics, quantum entanglement, a newly discovered mathematical object resembling a multifaceted jewel in higher dimensions. Encoded in its volume are the most basic features of reality that can be calculated. And if we look at Daniel 12, verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Is knowledge being increased today? Yes, knowledge is being increased, and we see that we're nearing the time of the end. You know, if you look at the history of man, if you look at back from the time of Adam and Abraham, they traveled on donkeys and horses, okay? You go all the way down to Paul Revere on his horse. You see, the mode of travel really was pretty flatlined for 6,000 years. It was flat. It hadn't really changed very much. The mode of communications, Adam and Abraham spoke with their voice. Paul Revere, it was what, the midnight cry of Paul Revere. And so for thousands of years, the mode of transportation, communication was flatlined. Knowledge was not increased. But then we went from Kittyhawk, North Carolina, to the moon in 60 years. In 60 years, we went from Kittyhawk, North Carolina, to the moon. And talking about knowledge increasing, I have a business card here. I have a little card here that I carry with me. And on this card is a USB drive. You can break it off, fold it up, put it in your computer. There's more memory here that went to the moon, that took our astronauts to the moon. On this little, just this little half-inch segment of the business card. More computer memory. Break it off, bend it over, break it off, fold it up. More computer memory than went to the moon. And so it's amazing. The Bible says knowledge will be increased and men will run to and fro. And what's interesting, we're all familiar with the prophecies. We're all familiar with the prophecies of the Messiah. We're going to get into that too, but the prophecy of the time of the end. There are going to be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Knowledge will be increased. Men will run to and fro, but the Bible tells us in Matthew, the end is not yet. But the end is, we see all these prophecies, but the end is not yet. And it goes on in Matthew, and it says, then it says, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. So we have seen these prophecies building to the end of time. And we're there. We're near the end of time. But then what it says is the gospel will be preached in all the world. And we see that on 3ABN, on 9 satellites going around the world, don't we? We see all of the media that we have. I think I have 14 Adventist channels coming into my home. And what is amazing, the gospel will be preached in all the world. Do you know, folks, there is something that is just totally amazing. Do you know the gospel is going to the world like never before? Adventist World Radio, we saw it at ASI. They had a countdown, a count-up clock there at ASI in August of 2015. And do you know that it would show you how many sermons are being downloaded into China? Every day, the clock, they said the only thing that runs faster than this clock is the U.S. national debt clock. They were getting, in August, they were getting 11 million Chinese downloading our sermons from Adventist World Radio. 11 million a day. Last year, and it's probably gone up now, I would imagine, from that time. And the previous year, they had 8.5 billion downloads in the world. 8.5 billion people, sermons, tuned in to hear our message of the gospel. You see, this church, we have things that other people haven't heard or have not been, people are not being told the truth about once saved, always saved. They're not being told the truth about the rapture. They're not being told the truth about hell, ever-burning hell. They're not being told the truth about the Sabbath and these things. And you see, I see God has provided maybe billions of dollars to get the message out. it is just unbelievable to me what's happened. I think in Saudi Arabia they were getting 60,000 downloads, you know, podcast downloads. And they sent, Adventist World Radio sent missionaries into one of the countries in, over in the Vietnam area there, into the backwoods of little villages. And they went to the first village, and the chief met them and said, you know, there was a man here dressed in white that told us to turn our radio to this place on the dial because it would help our people. And here they were, this village was already keeping the Sabbath. And they went on to another village, another village, another village, another village. I think they went to 21 villages and found an angel had already been there. So you see, we're not only nearing the end, but the end will come when the gospel is preached. And I think that, I don't think there's any other, you know, Trinity Broadcasting is humongous. I mean, it's humongous. But Trinity Broadcasting, it takes 168 hours a week, 168 sermons a week. And they have sermons from every perspective, okay? But you see, we have one consistent message that the world needs to hear. They need to know about the Sabbath. They need to know about ever-burning hell, that it's not burning forever. They need to know about the rapture and that it's not once saved, always saved. I believe God has done a work to get this message out like it nowhere else on the planet. And folks, we thank you again for watching Heavens Declare. Our time's gone. But thank you so much. We'll see you next time.